Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mailbag Monday. Angel and I are here today to answer some questions.
Yes, welcome. We love our Mailbag Monday.
Yes.
Let's just jump right in here. It says, I live in a state where pot is legal. My son wants to use it. I am opposed. He said it is legal, like drinking. I'm struggling trying to explain my stance against it.
Well, that's probably 100,000 other parents want to know the same thing. I do the same thing, like, you know, in prohibition, when they outlawed the use of alcohol, alcohol drinking went up. You can't outlaw sin. You know, people are going to sin, especially if you tell them they can't do it. I want to do that. Why? They said I can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's why nobody drives a speed limit. That's why they buy radar detectors for the dashboard of their car and truck. Bless God, I'll drive as fast as I want to drive. No, we have laws. They're mm-hmm. just supposed to, you know, obey. And so I just talked like I would about drinking. You know, my family, I had family members who are alcoholics. I had two uncles made their own moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
Not skanky stuff. Nice stuff, you know. Made good moonshine. I remember if we ever got the flu, whatever, you know, they'd have a quart jar. My mom would pour some of that moonshine she'd brought home from my grandfather's in a jar and have some rock candy and some hot boiling water. That'd make you swallow that stuff down. And I said, would it help? I can't remember. I took a long nap. I don't remember. So growing up in an alcoholic family, I never did drink because family reunions, you'd go there and everybody, you know, got a few uncles didn't know how to drink. So since we're at the reunion, they'd drink probably cheap beer and they'd drink three or four of them. Then they'd get drunk. Well, then they'd be throwing up out on the lawn outside of my grandfather's big old home. And so I'd always make my kids go out and watch. Come here, watch. They said, oh, Dad, is it a deer? Is it a bear? Because we lived right up in the Appalachian Mountains. I said, no, it's your Uncle So-and-so. So what's wrong with him? Give him just a minute. And all of a sudden he'd hit all fours and his back would arch like a razorback hog and he'd puke his toenails up. And they'd go, oh, Dad, that's gross. No, the second one's better. Wait till he gets his win. The second one's better. And so I'd make my kids, and then we'd pull into a beer joint sometimes on the weekend during basketball season. It'd be late at night. We'd been gone for 3 days. And we live out in the country, and there's a few little beer joints outside town before we get out in the country. And I'd pull in the parking lot, just back that Suburban in, and we'd just sit there, and the kids would wake up, Dad, what are we doing? Sitting here at the beer joint. What are we doing here, Dad? Well, we want to see the people coming in now. Dad, we can't. Somebody will see us. No, trust me, nobody knows us. If they do, we just wave at them. And so what I want them to see is every beer commercial, when they used to allow them more often on TV, has lots of people in bikinis and bathing suits, got muscles and built like brick, you know, warehouses. You know, everybody looks beautiful. I said, I want you to see who comes out of this beer joint. And sure enough, there'd be a few people in the next 30 minutes come out. Most of them, look like just, like 800 pounds overweight and the shirt won't button. It's like they're staggering. I said, that's what alcohol does to you. Plus, it kills your brain cells. And I don't know if you have that many extras. I don't think you have enough to waste right now. And so when I tried to kind of make almost a joke out of it, so listen, guys, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's smart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just a dumb thing to do. It says they're going to lengthen your life. It's going to make you happier. No, it's just trying to get you doped up so you don't have to think. And the Bible has a lot of scripture about thinking. Think on these things, whatever is lovely, just, honest, praiseworthy. Don't think on those other things. And you're trying to just get yourself so loopy, you don't have to think. And you're in escape mode.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never whip the enemy running from it. He'll chase you down and bring friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to be bold as a lion. And I want you to be sober when you do it. Be in your right mind. I want you to sleep good at night and not be restless. So I would just teach the very carnal, practical things. So I was invited to several Christian schools in town to come in and speak to the high school kids about alcohol and drinking. So I came in for 2 weeks in a row, and I'd take, 2 days a week. And I just, hey, guys, how you doing? My name's Joe McGee. I've got a big family. They would invite them here to talk about smoking and drinking. I said, you already know the answer to it, I had family members that died of throat cancer. Why? I smoked all the life or dipped snuff all the life. So it's, your body wasn't meant to handle it. And so it's all right. Yeah, I remember commercials when I was a kid. They would have doctors in their doctor uniform smoking a cigarette. You know, Chesterfield cigarettes, good for your health. Well, they lied. It wasn't good for your health because you don't know. So the best thing you can do is just tell the truth. Like, I don't care if it's weed's legal in your state. What's it doing for you? Is it a medical thing? Do you have a health problem? Or you just want to do it because you think it's cool to do it? Well, there's lots of things that are cool to do, you know, like driving down the highway on the wrong side of the road at 100 miles an hour. You know, that might get your buddies to giggle at you and also get you killed. There's just dumb things to do. What are you trying to do? Show off? Are you such a small human on the inside that you have to spend the rest of your life showing off to everybody else? Hey, I smoke weed. Hey, I get drunk. Well, what does that prove? You're a doofus. Like, there's been doofuses for thousands of years. You're just another one. That doesn't make you an adult. And so I try to lighten it up and just tell the truth. And so I saw the films when I was in the service. They had seizures before you went out on the weekend. And, Lord have mercy. And I didn't know those diseases even existed. So just be truthful and honest with them and say, hey, in our home, we don't smoke weed and we don't get drunk. We just don't do that here. We're trying to launch a next generation to live a long, prosperous, healthy life. And we just don't do that here.
Well, I, you know, have a brother that has been a drug addict since he was 13 years old. And it started with weed. And so the problem is that for some people, and you just don't know, it can be the gateway to other things. And, I mean, there are probably a few people that that's all that they do, and they do it occasionally. The challenge is, as an adult, once they become an adult, they can make their own decisions.
Yes, they can.
Depending on what state you live in. So I remember one time, it was in our state, it was becoming, they were doing a vote on it becoming legal. And it was a big topic everywhere you went. I mean, I remember one time I went to get my driver's license renewed, and these guys handed me paperwork out front. You know, I'm like, what? This is weird. So it was a big, big topic. So one time, sitting there with my kids, and we were talking about it, and you know, I said, "Well, here's what I want to tell you. First of all, it is illegal at this time.
Yep.
But secondly, I want to tell you that when I went through my divorce and had to get a job at corporate America for a nationwide company, but probably a worldwide company, actually.
Yes.
And the first thing they did when I got hired was did a drug test, and they didn't do. They cut my hair.
Yes.
And then every time I wanted a promotion, they cut my hair again.
Yes.
And so the thing is that goes back years.
Yes, it does.
So that kind of stuff you have to think about. Now, I went to work for another company that was equally as well, probably not as large, but worldwide, and they didn't. And I remember saying, when are they going to take the drug test? And they said, they're not going to take the drug test because they're pro weed. So I'm like, oh, that's so weird. But you don't know.
Yes.
Is this going to affect me later? So, again, I think you just have to have an honest conversation with them. These are real challenges.
Yes.
And the way our world is moving right now, parents are having to face things that even 10 years ago you weren't confronted with.
It's a new world.
And so I mean, you know, my heart's with you. This is a challenge. So, you know, the best thing is to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you.
Yeah.
And get your ducks in a row. Get your information before you go in. And like I know, I have a friend, her son, senior in high school. And a big thing now, which I didn't know until this happened with my friend, that that a lot of people now put it in those vaping things.
Yes.
And that is just becoming huge among high schoolers. Well, she kept telling me for months, I think my son's under a lot of anxiety. He keeps throwing up. And I'm like, that was weird. And so one day I was watching on the news, and they said there is a new thing that emergency rooms are being flooded with. Young kids, high schoolers predominantly, that are not recreationally or occasionally smoking weed, but daily. And it's called, I think it was called like a bubble belly or something like that.
Yep.
And that they start throwing up and they can't stop. Sometimes they can't stop for months after they've stopped.
Yep.
And the emergency room doctors are saying, we don't even know what it is that's triggering this. Is this a higher grade of weed? Is this a synthetic? You know, they don't even know. They're trying to figure it out. But they said, so her son started doing that where he could nonstop throw up. She takes him to the emergency room. First thing the emergency guy says is, son, do you smoke weed? And the mother had no idea. And he goes, yes. And, of course, the mother's just, like, floored. But so there's problems that are come with this. And parents, if you'll do your background and get your information right, then you can go there, you know, with much more information where, you know, this is not – this was not – intended to be used in this particular way.
I always go back to think truth will set you free. You don't try to out yell, out scream, out threaten. You just tell them the truth. Let me tell where this is going to go. This will not extend your life. It won't extend anything. It's trying to cut you short. The devil's been in, he's been on a roll ever since the Garden of Eden to kill mankind off. That's what he does. He's a thief, a murderer, and a liar. So what you're hearing from somebody, it's like, do you want to end up like they end up? Do you want to go there? Is that what you want to look like? That's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you can choose. God said, I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. You get to choose. God won't make you choose the right way. He'll set it in front of you. You get to choose. So try to choose the right way. I'm trying to live a long time and a prosperous life and a happy life. And God's laid out the way to do that. It's in the Word of God.
Correct. All right, so this next one is, my husband is addicted to sports. Every channel, every day out is a different sport. I've tried to be patient, but it is a one-way street. Help!
We do love where there's a scoreboard. Men love going where there's a scoreboard, because even if we're losing, we know how bad we lost. Men usually hate social events because there's not a scoreboard. So you go to a family fair, you go to a party. And I remember as a husband be driving home saying, hey, Joe, did you like that? I don't know. I noticed a 3 burnout light bulbs in the ceiling, you know. But did you meet, you know, Bill and Fred? No. Did you meet, you know, Mike and Susan? No, I didn't meet anybody. And men, we hate social events. We're trying to figure out. First thing a man looks for when he walks in the room is that, where are the exit doors and how many burnout light bulbs are there and how soon can we go? We just don't do well. So that's why God gave Adam a woman. You need help. God said, you need help. I want to make you a helper. I'm going to make you a female. She's smarter than you, does better than you. And it was a great thing. Marriage is the second greatest thing God ever did for mankind. But we have a need for a spouse because they have to help us change the way we think.
Well, Joe loves football.
Yes, I do.
And I like football a lot.
Yes.
But I remember that one afternoon on a Saturday, you'd watch like 4 games in a row. And I was just like, okay, you know, let's tap out here.
It was a great day.
He's just flipping back and forth. And I'm just like, okay, all right.
Woo.
And in our house, sports is not the all-consuming as much as Christmas music is.
Oh, we love Christmas music.
And sometimes I just have to say, you got to move on. You've been singing that chorus now for 4 days.
Well, I do love to listen to Christmas music 365 days a year. It is year round. If you come into my office, there's music slightly playing. Say, what do you got playing? Christmas music.
No, it's not lightly playing. It's very loud. And so I mean I understand there's people that just go to an extreme. To me, Christmas music year round is a bit extreme. Sports, every type. I mean, like, you know,
yes,
we're going from football to soccer to basketball to baseball. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just
there's
like,
no way this is your favorite team. Nobody's got that many favorite teams.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to sit down, and I'm sure you've said things, but you know, maybe change the approach a little bit. Instead of like going at it like, I am sick of this, slamming cabinets, whatever.
You always do this. You always do that. And you got to learn how to carry. You have to learn how to carry on a conversation. Number one, you got to learn how to start a conversation, mm-hmm. how to carry it on, how to end it. Attacking one another. Men do use sports as just an escape mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Back when they were cavemen, and I believe they were cavemen, it doesn't bother my theology. Caveman spends all day hunting some mastodon, trying to kill a thing, drags her home. He'll just drag the thing up next to the fire and look at that cave woman. He'll go, ugh, that's cave tougher. Skin this thing and cook it, woman. Caveman will sit down and stare in the fire. You go on a men's retreat or a camp out, you put men around a fire, they won't say a word. They'll just stare into the fire. That they won't say a word. They love it. What are you doing? Not thinking. And sometimes when you have the worst fights, your wife will say, what are you thinking? Nothing. You got to be thinking something. No, men, ladies, men can shut their brain down. And so what happens, you've got a husband that's just, he's just escaping. He doesn't have a favorite team. He's going into neutral. He's trying not to think. I don't have to think about problems or fix a problem. And that's not really what real men do. Real men were anointed by God to fix stuff. You know, we're going to, even in the biblical sense, what's going to happen? All these apostles and people that you've anointed for ministry, where they're going to go out and preach the gospel and heal the sick and raise the dead, and cast out devils. You're going to be busy, going to be really busy. And so it's like, we're supposed to be doing something every day, mostly leaving people better than we find them. That starts with our spouse. And so I don't mind watching a favorite game. I've got the games I like to watch. Well, so-and-so's playing today. I'll watch that. And, you know, Angel will love that. But you know about the third game, hey, let's call it a day and go do something else. And I realize what it is. I'm spaced out. What are you doing? Not thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They'll think for me. They'll score for me. Do you care who wins? I don't care. I'm just watching the game. Who are you pulling for? Nobody. I'm just watching the game. You might do it for a little bit, but eventually you got to get up and engage somebody, because you can't just run forever, because it's going to really frustrate your spouse.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I would do is, one of the things you say a lot in your marriage seminars is, you know, women, if you say to your spouse, hey, do you mind picking up the kids after school? The spouse, the male, will say, I can't. I got busy. I got to stay late at work, da-da-da-da-da-da. But if you say, hey, pick up Sam after school today.
Don't ask a question. Give him something to do.
And then they'll go, okay. And that is very, very true. So, I mean, I think it, as a replacement, instead of asking and waiting for them to change the behavior, you know, you change the behavior.
Yes.
Say, you know, tonight what we're going to do is we're going to eat at 6, and then I've got a movie scheduled. We're going to do a date night.
Yes.
And then we're going to, you know, put a puzzle together or whatever. You know what I mean? But you take control of it. Instead of just letting it land where it may. You know, people get into such dangerous habits of life. Of, this is what we do every night when we come home, blah, 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 blah.
I don't want to think. You're getting into a not thinking mode, and that's not the way humans do. And it really goes on both sides. And the guys, I tell several stories of people we met over the years traveling, you know, doing marriage seminars about ladies, you know, you go and tell your husband, hey, we're eating at 6, we're going to watch this movie. And the first thing the guy's going to say, what movie? What movie are we watching? Well, I'm not watching that movie. I don't like that movie. And guys, you got to start watching movies you don't necessarily like or agree with. It's the other side of the coin. And then, ladies, sometimes, you know, I had a couple that we dealt with. He just wanted to watch Rambo movies. As long as Rambo's on a movie, I may have seen it 15 times. I'm going to watch it 16 times. And she realized they were having a hard time in their marriage for about a year, and realized, she said, you know what I did? I went and bought every Rambo movie they ever made. And he liked to eat steak and baked potato when he came home off that tractor in the evening. So when he came home that next day, I had a steak and a baked potato ready. I set a little table tray up in front of his recliner, and he didn't have to come to the kitchen. I pulled his boots off, took his socks off, gave him a good foot massage. I put on Rambo, and I had every one of them, and I gave him the channel changer, and just then I went off to the bedroom. And he thought, man, this woman's incredible. Let me watch Rambo, and I'm on my second movie, hate mistake, have my baked potato, got a foot massage, and he's thinking, I wonder where she went. Well, what she did, she went to the bathroom, took a good shower, and put on a nice sexy teddy, and went to bed. She was waiting on him. And be honest with you, I say it to be funny, but it saved their marriage. You know, he fell in love. What did he do? This woman loves me. She bought my Rambo movies, fixed me a steak, gave me a foot massage. What does she need? What does she need? And sometimes you have to sow love to get love. You got to go the second mile and the third mile. That's what love does.
Yeah.
You know, it gives the coat and the shirt. And he goes, hey, you want to go 1 mile? I'll go 2 with you. I'm going to heap love.
Right.
Love never fails.
That is true. That's a good word. All right. So this next one is on parenting. How do you feel about counseling for kids? We are having issues with our child, and we're told by a teacher that we should possibly seek counseling for him. Where would we start?
Ooh, that can be a challenge. I start with everything with the got to start with the Word of God, and if I'm going to get a counselor, I got to make sure they know the Word of God, because God's he's the bottom line, the end result of everything. He's the one that makes the sun come up in the morning, and you know, the sun go down in the evening. He's in control. And so if you're going to talk to me, you don't know God, I probably can't do anything about that, because truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not going to change his mind. What was true 2,000 years ago will be true 2,000 years from today. God's not going to change. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever my child's dealing with, there's an answer somewhere. We used to do this with kids all the time, working with teenagers. There's not one challenge going to come upon you there's not already an answer for. God said, I've already made a way of escape. Whatever's come upon you, I saw it coming before you was ever born. Right. I've already got a way out of it. But you've got to seek me to find out what that is. So we got to get busy chasing God. So if I'm going to go to counseling, I got to make sure the counselor's going to point me back to the Word of God, because that's where the answer is. I don't want to get into a lot of stuff where it's like, Man, you've been talking for an hour. You're not quoted one scripture. There's probably not much to that because it's going to change. So I start with the Word of God and make sure there's somebody that's a Christian. I start with my own local church. Start with your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to my pastor, number one. If you can't do that, then I'd recommend, you know, if they got counselors on staff that are born-again Christians, they know the Word of God. I've got to make it sure that somebody that knows what the source is. So that's what I'm going to recommend.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't say in this question whether it's, you know, a behavioral thing or if it's an emotional thing, if this child has been through a trauma.
Yes.
You have to be careful, I think, in our society where we're so driven by our emotions and things and wanting to run from responsibility as well, that it's not something that you as a parent should be handling and pawning off part of that on a counselor as well. This is just my own personal thing. I've seen counseling where it was great, but it's all in the counselor that you choose.
Because
I've seen some that's like, ugh, that was not the best.
That
of
was
advice.
More confused. There was an answer in it. I'm not sure what that was.
And you know, you wrote that great book, God Knows How to Raise Your Kids, even if you don't.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I would try to find resources like that and dive in there. But I think it would have to be all, like you said, word based. So, I mean, and I don't know how old this child is. So there's so many variables that you'd have to take into consideration.
Which you have to just give it a general answer. It's nothing new under the sun. Whatever you're dealing with, a million other parents have dealt with it long before you came along.
That is a fact.
And there's an answer somewhere. So what you're looking for is an answer. And you have to remember, you know, we've got a lot of kids between us. We've got 8 children between us. There's no 2 children that are the same. Every child's born different. Every child has a different thumbprint, a different voice print.
Mm-hmm.
Every child is different. I remember when we had our first child, I thought, my first child was like the guinea pig. I chased them. About the time I learned to raise a 3-year-old, they'd turn 4. When I learned to raise a 4-year-old, they turned 5. So I chased my eldest child through life. But when my second child was born, I said, well, I'm ready now. I know what to do with a newborn. Well, the problem is the hospital made a mistake. That wasn't my kid. They're nothing like my first kid. Well, they were my child, but they were different.
Mm-hmm.
And what worked with my first child did not work with my second child. So I had to learn to go back to the Word of God. God, you saw this coming. You know what to do.
Yeah.
So I got to make sure I'm seeking God and it's not just trying to demand a certain behavior. And you don't say things, well, why aren't you like your sister? Why aren't you like your brother? They're not their sister or their brother. They're a very unique creation. But whatever you're dealing with, there is an answer.
Yeah, and you know, my son never had to open a book at school. He just breezed through. My daughter, it was a struggle from day one.
Yep.
And so every summer we'd have to do tutoring, which was, that was punishment to a parent, let me just tell you that. So we switched schools and got a new teacher. And I remember I was meeting the teacher and I said to her, you know, should I continue this tutoring? And I remember her looking at me and saying, you know what? Let's just give this a chance and see if she needs it. And that girl blossomed that year just by changing the teacher.
Yes.
So sometimes you have to consider the source.
Yes.
I mean, is this a teacher that, you know, is just, this is her go-to? You know, your kid needs counseling. Or you know how, like, today, you know, what we considered somebody being hyperactive, today they'd give drugs to kids all the time.
No.
So I mean, you know, I mean, does she have a legitimate concern, or is it something that's just a kid being a kid and being blown out of proportion too? So you have to take, you know, follow peace. That's the thing.
Yeah, follow after peace, because there's seasons and cycles of every life. Not every 2-year-old is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Not every 3. So you're talking to other people probably in your neighborhood or your relatives or somebody at church. Well, my son never did that, or my daughter never did that, or my daughter does this all the time. It's like there are no 2 children that are the same. So you have to find out what it's going to take for your child to help grow them up.
Yeah, and every day of my adult life, I get up and say, you know, God, your word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I'm asking. Give me wisdom today.
Show me what to do.
As a wife, as a friend, as a parent. And you know what? He is our help in a time of need. So I would just really follow peace.
Yes.
As far as that goes.
Okay, everybody, that wraps up this Mailbag Monday. We thank you for joining us. Tune in next time and be with Angel 9. We'll answer some more questions.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We love you.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.